This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, you'll hear our feature, Behind the Mic. This time, Audiophile's Joe Reed speaks with actor-narrator Jim Dale. We'll follow that with reviews in mystery and suspense. You'll hear reviews of such exciting audiobooks as Blood in the Water by Jack Flynn, performed by Dion Graham, A Minute to Midnight, Atlee Pine, Book 2 by David Baldacci, read by Brittany Presley and Keith Brewer, and The Art of Theft, Lady Sherlock, Book 4 by Sherry Thomas. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kate Redding. Let's get right to it. Behind the Mic with Jim Dale. Audiophile's Josephine Reed speaks with Jim Dale, beloved voice of the Harry Potter series, about his long career on stage and narrating audiobooks. This is an excerpt. Hear the full conversation in a bonus episode of our podcast, Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. Josephine Reed. You worked with Laurence Olivier, and he invited you to join the National Theater. Jim Dale. Laurence Olivier saw me playing the various Shakespeare's clowns in and around the Edinburgh Festival and in the West End of London, and he finally approached me and said, "We have a play at the National Theatre which needs an actor who can talk to the audience. It's called The National Health by Peter Nichols, who went on to write wonderful plays like Joe Egg." And so Larry invited me to the National Theater, and I stayed there a couple of years, sharing a dressing room with Derek Jacobi and Jeremy Brett. And I did a two-hander play with Anthony Hopkins. And I was on stage with Paul Scofield and then Joan Plowright in Merchant of Venice, with Larry himself playing Shylock. And I played Lancelot Gobbo. So it was a wonderful experience. Joe Reed. An extraordinary career that continues in various fields. How then did you get into the audiobook biz, where you are one of the shining lights there as well? Jim Dale. That was an accident, a sheer accident. They were looking for someone with an English accent to be the narrator, and someone said to whoever it was at the publishing company, they said, "Well, there's a guy called Jim Dale. He's playing off-Broadway at the moment with three other men in a play called Travels with My Aunt. One of the men doesn't speak at all, so three of them now doing 33 characters between them." And of course the publisher said, "Wow, that sounds fantastic. That's the sort of guy we need." So they approached me and asked me if I'd read the book, which I did. I loved it. They said, "Would you like to try to record it?" I said, "Yes." And it was only after I had signed the contract that one of them said to me, "Well, how many of the characters do you play in that play?" And I remember saying, "Just the aunt and the nephew. The other two guys played 31 characters between them." So there's a shocked silence on the end of the phone, because they realized they'd signed someone who may be unable to do any more than a couple of voices. Joe Reed. And the book we're talking about is Harry Potter? Jim Dale. That's correct. There were seven of them, as you know, and so I didn't realize that the first book had, I think it was 34 different speaking characters, but that was nothing compared to the final book, which had 147 different characters that needed a voice. So that was quite a challenge. Joe Reed. Well, it's like your first run being a marathon. Jim Dale. That's correct. Joe Reed. Well, it's also keeping all those voices straight over the course of seven books that got continuously longer as the series progressed. Jim Dale, yes. Joe Reed, now that's another feat. It's one thing creating it, which is extraordinary, but then to be able to remember, yes. Jim Dale, I don't have much time to read the book. I'm given the book, and from the last book, for instance, book seven, it was so urgent that they only gave me 100 pages at a time, and then I would record the 100 pages, and then they'd give me another 100 pages. So I had no idea where the storyline was going, whether a character was going to be a villain or a goodie. I had no idea. So it was very, very tough to keep track of all the voices. And the way I did it was quite simply, as I invented the voice, I would read the sentence that that character speaks into a small tape recorder and say, page 48, Dumbledore, line 23. And so that gave me some idea. When we came to it in the script, I would stop and say, let me just listen to the tape recording of what I did at that particular moment when I was creating them. And it would give me an idea of what that first sentence sounded like. And I'd be able to recreate that voice. Joe Reed. Boy, the world that you create with your voice. Jim Dale. I wish I could say I agree, but to be perfectly honest, Joe, I've never heard myself in any of the 40 audiobooks that I've made. I don't want to hear myself because I'd want to do it again, because in films and television, you're allowed to do take 3, 4, 5, take 50 if necessary. But in narration, it's just take 1. You have to just keep talking until you make a mistake. So I learned a lesson very early. If I want to do a sentence again, I would just swear, and then they'd have to stop the tape recording. I remember so often them saying, oh, Jim, don't keep swearing because we'll have to do that again. And I'd say, thank you. That's what I'd like to do. I can polish it up a bit now. So I've never heard a Harry Potter book, but I'm very pleased with the reaction of those who have. Joe Reed. What was the hardest thing to get used to when you got into that audio booth and started narrating as opposed to being on stage in front of a camera? Jim Dale. I suppose on stage you can add to the actual character that the playwright wrote words for by physical movement, by expression on one's face. All that adds by 100% character, and you're trying to create. But in narration, you really have to keep your hands in your pockets. You can't go twirling your arms about to indicate that's what your character would do. People are listening to this, so everything has to come out through the voice. Every type of expression and emotion has to be created by your vocal cords, and they become the most important thing that you have to offer, those vocal cords. So you have to treat them as if they were, and they are, the most precious things that you have as a narrator. I remember the first day I had to record Hagrid, and I recorded him as a gravelly old giant, and within 10 minutes I'd lost my voice. What happened then was we had to stop recording. We had to cancel the rest of the recording session, had to pay the assistants and the editors who were there for the day. It cost a lot of money to make a silly, stupid mistake like that. So any gravelly voice has to be one that you can sustain. So don't put too much into it, or you'll just lose your voice, as I did. And that concludes our Behind the Mic with Jim Dale, but you can listen to the rest in a bonus episode of Audiophile's Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. Okay, now we'll turn our attention to our reviews in Mystery and Suspense, and our first review is an Earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today is Quantum, Captain Chase, Book 1 by Patricia Cornwell. It's an earphones winner, read by January Lavoie. Thriller fans are in for a treat as narrator January Lavoie performs Patricia Cornwell's latest. It's the first adventure of Captain Callie Chase, a NASA pilot, quantum physicist, and cybercrime investigator who must puzzle through the clues that point her to missing identical twin sister, Carm. Lavoie delivers this heart-pounding story using a combination of emotionally even tones, chaotic thoughts, and increasingly tense comments. Lacing events with tension, she imbues all the characters with their own mystery and self-confidence. Lavoie is a vocal shapeshifter, gliding between fluid narrative, the staccato gravelly voice of Callie's sister Fran, a police officer, gruff male characters, and Callie's increasing paranoia. As Callie follows the trail left by her missing sister, Lavoie's tones echo her growing distrust of herself. Miriam B. Kahn wrote that review of Quantum by Captain Chase, Book 1, by Patricia Cornwell. It's an Earphones winner, read by January Lavoie, and it's available from Brilliance Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is The Warehouse by Rob Hart, read by Emily Wu Zeller, Jason Culp, and Carissa Backer. A trio of talented narrators tackles a dystopian cyber thriller in which Cloud, a tech company akin to Amazon, has taken over the American marketplace. Paxton, a new employee whose business fell prey to Cloud, and Xenia, a corporate infiltrator, take the lead as the darkness behind Cloud's glossy exterior comes to light. Emily Wu Zeller, Jason Culp, and Carissa Backer alternate the narration as Paxton and Xenia avoid being swallowed up by the massive company, and a surprisingly engaging third character steals the show. The polished and perfectly amiable facade of Cloud's CEO barely covers his ruthlessness. The story is all too plausible as it blends social commentary with a compelling thriller. The three capable narrators complement beautifully and raise the listen to great heights. John Murray wrote that review of The Warehouse by Rob Hart, read by Emily Wu Zeller, Jason Culp, and Carissa Backer. It's available from Random House Audio for 13 hours of unabridged listening. This is just a reminder that you are listening to the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine, the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Our next audiobook in Mystery and Suspense is The Art of Murder. It's written by Rebecca Mudiman, read by Humphrey Bauer. The listener will hang on to narrator Humphrey Bauer's every word in this gripping psychological thriller well suited to audio. Bauer's Nick Kelly sounds like everybody's idea of a media-happy, tough guy, NYPD detective, as he investigates a string of murders. Serial killer Michael Fisher seeks fame as an artist by arranging his victims in gruesome versions of famous paintings, such as Caravaggio's David with the Head of Goliath. Karen, Nick's vindictive soon-to-be ex-wife, unwittingly becomes a potential victim. Bauer's riveting delivery of intense dialogue, narrative, and subtle nuances of character keep this disturbing threesome believable as they try to destroy each other in a dangerous game of cat and mouse. Joanne Simoneau wrote that review of The Art of Murder by Rebecca Mudiman. It's read by Humphrey Bauer. It's available from Belinda Audio for 9.25 hours unabridged. Next, we have A Minute to Midnight, Atlee Pine, Book 2 by David Baldacci. It's an Earphones winner, read by Brittany Presley and Keith Brewer. From the beginning, narrators Brittany Presley and Keith Brewer are in full command of this audiobook with their talent and skill. Presley portrays Atlee Pine, a troubled FBI agent whose idyllic childhood was interrupted by the kidnapping of her twin sister, Mercy. At the same time, a serial killer is on the loose with a bizarre modus operandi. Presley and Keith Brewer expertly create several characters, including Atlee's assistant, Carol Blum, the calm voice of reason, and Brewer's FBI agent, Eddie, who has a thing for Atlee. The narrators blend their styles seamlessly, infusing this complex plot with tension and edginess. It's a fast-moving story of love, hate, and redemption that will keep listeners on tenterhooks until the very end. Elaine Sumner wrote that review of A Minute to Midnight, Atlee Pine, Book 2 by David Baldacci, an Earphones winner read by Brittany Presley and Keith Brewer. It's available from Hachette Audio for 12.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next in Mystery and Suspense, we have Twisted 26, Stephanie Plum, Book 26, by Janet Ivanovich, read by Lorelei King. Lorelei King returns to bring us our favorite characters in the Stephanie Plum series. Grandma Mazur, the star of the 26th edition, is married and widowed all in the first paragraphs. The typical chaos ensues. Thanks to King's masterful performance, listeners know immediately who is talking. Fans will find all they have come to expect. Stephanie whining about her life but doing nothing about it, cars blowing up, Lula showing off all her assets, a predictable formulaic plot, and lots of laughs. King's narration keeps this audiobook entertaining and engaging. Maybe Lula should run for governor of New Jersey. After all, the books are set in Trenton. Ellen Quint wrote that review of Twisted 26. Stephanie Plum, Book 26 by Janet Ivanovich. It's read by Lorelei King, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 6.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have To the Land of Long-Lost Friends, the number one ladies' detective agency, Book 20 by Alexander McCall Smith. It's an Earphones winner, read by Lisette Leca. How lovely to spend time again with Ma Precious Remotswe of the number one ladies' detective agency. Thanks to the quiet performance of Lisette Leca, series fans reconnect with a bevy of fully formed Botswana residents, from self-improvement detective assistant Grace Makutsi to Ma Remotswe's gentle husband, Mr. J.L.B. Matakone, and part-time detective assistant Charlie, who's having love problems. In Book 20, business is hopping at the agency. They are finishing the case of the not-so-adulterous spouse when Ma Remotswe connects with an old friend whom she had presumed to be late, dead. Very much alive but unhappy because her daughter has suddenly become estranged, she asks Precious to look into the problem. Sensitive writing, wry humor, and Lacaz's deft performance make this choice listening. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, I'm a fan of the series, was a review of To the Land of Long-Lost Friends, the number one ladies' detective agency, Book 20, by Alexander McCall Smith. It's an Earphones winner, read by Lisette Leca, and it's available from Recorded Books for 9 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is The Art of Theft, Lady Sherlock, Book 4 by Sherry Thomas, read by Kate Redding, and it's an Earphones winner. Narrator Kate Redding gives her usual wonderful interpretation of Charlotte Sherlock Holmes and those close to her, including her sister Olivia, Lord Ingram, and Mrs. Watson. In Sherry Thomas's fourth Lady Sherlock mystery, the stakes are higher than ever. Holmes and company find themselves involved in blackmail and complex intrigue when the Maharani of Ajmer enlists them to reacquire letters of an incriminating nature that could lead to an international scandal. The letters are hidden behind a priceless painting soon to be auctioned at a masquerade ball in France. The group heads across the channel to a chateau where the auction and ball will be held. Redding's performance delivers a suspense-packed, fast-paced heist adventure, clearly plotted, with unrequited romance and plenty of humor to offset the tension. That review by me, Sandy Henschel, is of The Art of Theft, Lady Sherlock, Book 4 by Sherry Thomas. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kate Redding, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 10.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next we have Death Beside the Seaside, Lady Hardcastle, Book 6 by T.E. Kinsey, read by Elizabeth Nolden. Narrator Elizabeth Nolden handles the witty, rapid-fire wordplay of Kinsey's mystery. Lady Hardcastle and her lady's maid Florence take a holiday at the seaside, only to become embroiled in international intrigue. Nolden keeps listeners laughing out loud and gives strong expression to the many foreign voices in the story. Nolden especially shines as the voice of first-person narrator Flo, as she badgers and banters with her best friend and employer, Lady Hardcastle. Through the gifted performance of Nolden, listeners connect personally with Flo as she investigates crimes and takes down criminals. Victoria Mejia Yu wrote that review of Death Beside the Seaside. Lady Hardcastle, Book 6, by T.E. Kinsey. It's an Earphones winner, read by Elizabeth Nolden, and it's available from Brilliance Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is A Bitter Feast. Duncan Kincaid, Gemma James, Book 18, by Deborah Crombie. It's an Earphones winner, read by Gerard Doyle. Gerard Doyle is simply wonderful, narrating Crombie's exciting 18th outing with crime-solving couple Duncan Kincaid and Gemma James. Doyle animates each of Crombie's numerous characters with slight shifts in voice and tone. The Kincaid family is invited to a posh country estate in the Cotswolds. They're looking forward to a relaxing getaway from their stressful Scotland Yard duties. Local chef Viv is catering a charity luncheon for foodies and food critics alike, the outcome of which could make or break her career. A fatal car crash, more mysterious deaths, secrets and motives going back decades, combined with Doyle's impeccable performance, make this a mystery worth hearing. After A Bitter Feast, start with Book 1, A Share in Death, for maximum enjoyment of this terrific series. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of A Bitter Feast, Duncan Kincaid, Gemma James, Book 18 by Deborah Crombie. It's an Earphones winner, read by Gerard Doyle, and it's available from Harper Audio for 10.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is Blood in the Water. Jack Flynn wrote it. It's read by Dion Graham. Narrator Dion Graham uses his full breadth of talent in delivering an action-packed thriller that weaves together several plot lines. Listeners are hooked from the start as a maniacal serial killer is being tracked down by Homeland Security agent Kit Steele. The story then shifts to Boston Harbor. Chief Cormac O'Connell and his battle to maintain control of the harbor, and his independent teenage daughter, Diamond. Graham successfully voices the diverse characters of Steele, MS-13 gang leaders, the Southie crew of O'Connell, and Diamond. He also maintains the intensity of the drama with a strategic use of pace and varying timbre. Note, the blood in the titles that the title suggests levels of violence in this audiobook. Ellen Quint wrote that review of Blood in the Water by Jack Flynn, read by Dion Graham. It's available from Recorded Books for 11.25 hours unabridged. Our next review today is The Second Biggest Nothing, Dr. Siri Pyborn, Book 14 by Colin Cotterill. It's read by Clive Chafer. Clive Chafer's narration guarantees that listeners will be laughing out loud at Cotterill's 14th mystery featuring Siri Pyborn. Laos's national coroner, Siri finds a note attached to the stumpy tail of his dog, Ugly, threatening to destroy Siri and those he holds dearest. More threats follow and people begin dying, forcing Siri to explore who in his past holds such long-lasting hatred of him. Chafer's performance is appropriately over the top as the time shifts to Siri's youth, when the eccentric young man, who is possibly possessed by a 1,000-year-old shaman, was engaged in situations that might have led to his current problems. Chafer delivers an assortment of outrageous plot twists and believable characters with tongue-in-cheek aplomb. For maximum enjoyment, start at the beginning of the series. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of The Second Biggest Nothing, Dr. Siri Pyborn, Book 14, by Colin Cotterill, read by Clive Chafer. It's available from Recorded Books for 7.25 hours of unabridged listening. Finally, today we have Under Occupation by Alan First, read by Peter Noble. Narrator Peter Noble is known for the range and variety of his audiobook credits, and more importantly, for his sensitivity to the unique mood and character of each work he undertakes. That skill is put to good use in historical novelist Alan First's latest World War II thriller, set in occupied Paris and other sites across Nazi-occupied Europe. The plot is episodic, a series of separate adventures by First's accidental spy, a 40-something writer of detective novels with no previous combat experience. First, a master of period detail, draws us into the wartime atmosphere, the everyday experience, and mood. Noble's delivery is measured and slightly hushed, as if danger were lurking somewhere close by, as it invariably is in this tense, high-action thriller. David A. Walton wrote that review of Under Occupation by Alan First. It's read by Peter Noble, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 7 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll have Candace Levy's feature, Five Questions for Robert Petkoff. We'll follow that with Caitlin Augusta's Tease and Reviews in Romance, including a review of Radio Silence, Off the Grid, Book 1 by Alyssa Cole, read by Karen Chilton. Then we have reviews in poetry, classics, and drama, including a review of Mythos, written and read by Stephen Fry, and a review of Earphones winner The Great God Pan and Other Weird Tales by Arthur Machen, read by Peter Wickham. So until then, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.